Relax and indulge at Nemacolin's Woodland Spa and Holistic Healing Center, where you'll find relaxing massages and treatments, cutting-edge therapies, and traditional holistic practices to uncover life balance and overall wellness. Nemacolin's Holistic Healing Center offers guests innovative, personalized, and unique offerings, including yoga retreats, special services like infrared light therapy, cryotherapy, and more that you won't find anywhere else. To plan your wellness escape, visit nemacolin.com for more details.
Crime Time Replay from Money FM 89.3. Crime Time Replay from Money FM 89.3. Focus, hosted by Howie Lim and Bernard Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
It's Tech Talk today, being a Wednesday. We've seen it coming since late last year, but now it's final. IBM recently closed the $34 billion US Red Hat acquisition in a cloud catch-up. What does this spell for open source developer programs and multi-cloud deployments?
Sad times. Also, we say goodbye to Apple's smallest 12-inch MacBooks and welcome BMW's first all-electric Mini Cooper SE.
This is Tech Talk, and we have with us right now Wong Kai, tech contributor from the Business Times, to tell us more. Well, Kai, IBM has closed its $34 billion US purchase of Red Hat, sealing the world's second largest technology deal ever, and setting up the iconic US company on a path to try to compete with top software purveyors in the cloud. What's so crucial about this deal? Tell us.
So IBM, once the darling of everyone, every businessman, you know, your black laptops make you the businessman. Mm-hmm. So the 108-year-old IBM, 108 years old, geez. So basically, they're now struggling to adopt cloud-related technologies. So Microsoft, Amazon, even Google has leapfrogged IBM in the cloud-related areas. So IBM is throwing, you know, lots of money at this Red Hat acquisition. And for Chief Executive Officer Ginni Rometty, she has basically staked the future of the company on this deal. And it's going to save this company basically from irrelevancy. And according to her in an interview, I quote, "This is about the hybrid cloud. It is the future and it is the destination of the cloud." And according to her, you know, the market is worth over $1 trillion in the coming years. It is emerging, and it's very interesting that a lot of people are taking interest in it now. And I think IBM is, you know, I mean, better late than ever. So they are definitely catching up to the tune of $34 billion with Red Hat. And I guess this purchase is not meant to take the big cloud providers on head on, mm-hmm. but rather they're going to the so-called hybrid cloud, which allows companies to simultaneously run programs on both the internal servers and the public cloud providers. So public cloud providers being Amazon Web Services and Microsoft Azure. So IBM obviously knows that, hey, you know, we can't fight basically AWS. AWS mm-hmm. is one of the biggest server providers in the world. And IBM says, look, we are going to be the glue to join these two together. So private companies, private internal servers and public cloud, they can be the software to match both of those up.
Let's talk about new business direction then. This Red Hat acquisition will take IBM. It's do or die, though, it sounds like at this point. Could there be challenges ahead?
Exactly. Yeah, definitely there will be challenges ahead. So I think, so Red Hat is a open source sort of developer oriented company. And then IBM is this, well, we just said it's a 108 year old company. And obviously it has a very, very strong corporate culture. So one of the difficulties in this deal is whether Red Hat can integrate into IBM. I mean, you know, when startups sort of get subsumed into big corporations, they're obviously going to have some cultural differences, right?
Yeah.
Maybe this freewheeling culture and then versus this very straight sort of stoic corporate culture. And then we're like, ooh, how are we going to sort of meld those two together?
Yeah.
In order to streamline this transition, Red Hat will maintain its headquarters in Raleigh, North Carolina, and the company will be run as a distinct unit within IBM. And they control their own sales unit and their contracts and the terms and conditions, all of that. So it's a good thing that they're letting Red Hat run their own thing, but for lack of a better word, have the synergies together.
Yeah. But it only sounds like geographical synergy.
Exactly.
It's not even a subsidiary. It feels like completely separate.
Yeah. And I think it's, well, it's to get their expertise, maybe even some of their IP.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, moving on to another another big brand and big news today. Of course, Apple's 12-inch MacBook, which seemed incredibly cool when it was first launched in 2015, is dead.
Oh, and no.
Apple seems to have killed it and is pointing users to its newly refreshed 13-inch MacBook Air and also the entry-level MacBook Pro models as well. So tell us, Kai, why has Apple killed...
Why the murder?
It's exactly. Murder so, is smallest PC. And what can users look forward to in the newly refreshed
Do you guys remember, you know, when that MacBook came out? It was just called MacBook. And it was so thin. One of the thinnest computers I've ever seen.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we all remember that. And it had like a really thin, sort of low-profile keyboard. Really, really nice computer.
Yeah.
And I was so seduced by it that I actually bought one. And it was quite a good laptop for a while. Mm-hmm. I mean, the thinness, the portability were everything. And all I needed to do were word processing documents on it, as web surfing, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of people actually wanted more from the laptop. And that MacBook only came with one port. And in addition, that laptop also cost $1,800. Mm-hmm. And right now, on Apple's website, the new MacBook Air, it's the one with that comes with a 1.6 gigahertz dual core processor, 8 gigabytes of memory, 256 gigabytes of SSD storage, all that, and two ports.
Oh, wow.
Grand total of two ports.
Ports are important.
Oh, very important.
It's so 1,009. Many, some more.
Exactly, so many. It's 1,009, and it's a much, much better machine than the one I got. So obviously, Apple is looking at discontinuing this because it no longer makes any sense for someone to buy an $1,800 laptop that has
so many limitations.
Exactly. Mm. One port, and very slow processor. This processor that the new sort of MacBook Air that comes with, it's a much more powerful one. And it only costs about 100 more than what they sold the previous MacBook for. So definitely they have to discontinue that.
So RIP. Lovers
definitely.
Of the Zippy Mini, though, can rejoice with the announcement of the first ever all-electric Mini. Your favorite car brand retains the go-kart-like performance it's known for, but is kinder to the environment. Kai, what are some of the details about this new electric Mini Cooper?
It's very exciting, actually. Mini Cooper, right up to this point, has not had an electric vehicle, and right now we are looking at them slowly going battery electric. And the first electric Mini, obviously front-wheel driven, as was the original, it's going to be driven by a 181-horsepower electric motor, and it's got a 32.6 kilowatt-hour lithium-ion battery pack. So, the reason why anyone buys a Mini is because it's cute, it's small, compact, easy to park, you know. It has a very diminutive form factor, and as a result, they've shaped the battery pack in a way that has not compromised on cargo volume as a result. Although battery electric cars, as we all know, are very heavy, the weight has actually gone up 145 kilos compared to a Mini Cooper S. Mm. But the overall weight has been maintained below 1,400 kilograms. So that's not too bad. In my mind, it's still relative a weight that is decent enough for a battery electric vehicle.
How does weight affect anything? Speed, I would assume.
Exactly. I mean, a vehicle's weight is everything. You have a heavier car, you need more power, you need more fuel, you need more of everything. You need to beef up the car to handle the weight as well. So if you make a car lighter, everything becomes better. The car performs better, it handles better, and you don't have to use so much fuel driving it.
Mm.
So, it's an inevitable fact about battery electric vehicles that they're all going to be sort of quite heavy because of the weight of the batteries. Mm. But Mini being Mini, I'm sure that they're going to make it sort of quite fun to drive. You know, that's the reason anyone buys a Mini. It's one of the most fun things to drive on the road. And I wish
also,
everyone could drive one.
The concern is when you make things smaller, faster, quicker and everything, it tends to be more expensive. So perhaps if Mini tried to make the battery smaller and lighter, the price tag might be higher.
Exactly. But according to the review that Mini showed, the new electric Mini, so it only has slightly under 300 kilometers of range, which in my mind isn't too long a range. I mean, we've got cars now from Hyundai, from Jaguar here in Singapore that have over 400 kilometers of range.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at something that probably works here, but when I'm not sure how it's going to work in
So countries, long range driving. Yeah.
Exactly. So here, I guess, you know, our average commuting distance between home, office and home is what, 50 kilometers?
About there,
right? So 300 is okay, doable. I think it's doable.
Okay, before we let you go, Kai, you have a tech fact for us?
Yes. So November of 1985 saw the...
How old were you, Kai? 1985.
Tell us about I was
this.
Minus four, did you know?
We were teenagers already.
Yes.
But
oh,
go
no,
ahead.
I just revealed my age on air. Great. Anyway, November 1985 saw the first release of Microsoft Windows, Windows 1.0.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where are we now? I remember the days of XP and all of that.
I remember Windows 3.1. I was using Windows 3.1 for some time. And
1.0,
yeah, the original Windows. And I think you can run that on your smartwatch, Bernard.
Wong Kai-yi, tech contributor from the Business Times. Kai-yi, it's been a pleasure.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.